Welcome back to the HPC Outreach Podcast. We're so happy to have you. We love to take this opportunity to spotlight missionaries and ministries here at His Providence Church. This is extra special. Today we are going to spend some time with Glenn breaking down Faith in Pistons, one of the ministries here that we support at His Providence Church. The cool thing about having Glenn here is he not only is part of Faith in Pistons, but he also comes to church here with their awesome family, his wife Vilma, and two awesome boys, incredible boys. They're always such a fun time. Right, Glenn?
Yep, they are. They are fun.
Keep you on your toes,
absolutely.
For sure.
They're high energy and
and
that's fun.
Yeah, that's good. So they're here on Sunday mornings, and so we're going to be able to hear from them on an upcoming Sunday. And so we wanted to take time to just dive into Faith in Pistons and talk about more of this ministry that maybe people don't understand. So maybe you could start out by telling John and I where Faith in Pistons started, when it started, how this all kind of came to be.
Okay. Faith in Pistons started about 10, 11 years ago, and it was the vision of our founder, Bob Cogan, and he had a vision of a program that sort of combined some of the important factors in his life, which was love of God, love of all things automotive, and a desire to mentor teenage boys. He had teenage boys at the time, and he had a vision, he felt was a calling to bring those things together. And so he put it to prayer and he left it in God's hands. And he said, Lord, if this is from you, I'll need about $1,000 to $1,500 to get the program started. And within a week, he had $1,500
awesome.
In his hand, which was the high end of what he had requested.
Yeah.
And at that point, as the story goes,
he should have asked for more.
No, that's it. That's exactly it. There were two things that he came to realize. One is that our God is amazing, and the second one is exactly what you said. He should have asked for more. So he put a call out to the church that we attended at the time, and that's when I got involved with the program. Answering. Basically, a presentation that he had made. He had talked about the vision and wanting to start the program.
Yeah.
I got involved with him then. We ended up going through all the paperwork to become an official 501c3 charity, and then we got going. And in the early part of our program, we were focused more on the mentoring part of it. So we would, receive donated vehicles from the community, and we would repair them. We'd teach the boys in the program how to repair them, and how to be upstanding men and upstanding citizens and Christians was what our goal. And sort of roll that in together. We would work on the vehicles, we'd sell them, and make the money to pay the rent, and do the same thing over. Get the next vehicle, buy some parts, repair it. And move forward.
So, what did that mentorship look like for these boys? Is it like a year? Is it a set amount of time?
It's not a set amount of time. The idea it sort of varies depending on the number of kids in the program. But it to date has never been a problem that we've had too many.
Okay.
It sort of worked out that when the kids get to be about 18, get their license and start to work and do other things, have other responsibilities, they sort of step back from the program a little bit. So that's kind of how they sort of age out of it, more or less. We've had some that stay on as mentors and whatnot, but generally it's just a relatively small group and we're able to focus on them and really work with them. And
how would you find these young guys? Like, was it a partnership with a school, or was it the church community, or like a combination of a lot of different things? Or
yeah, it's a combination of a lot of different sources. Some of them are, friends of people that are in the program now, and we often invite them to find somebody who might not otherwise come to church. Because I think one of the appealing things about our program is there are lots of, sort of ministry programs for people that are already involved in the church. There are youth groups and, programs that kids that have been raised in the church and know the church, would be much more likely to answer a call of, hey, you want to come to this Bible study or this church group or this youth group? And so we thought this would be a little different sort of an avenue to get some interest from kids that might not be church-centered kids.
Yeah,
you know, there's cool. Kids, teenage boys tend to love engines and cars and motorcycles and go-karts and that sort of thing. And we always felt that that would be appealing enough that they would tolerate
the spiritual
side of it enough to get through it. And that's really worked out because, you know, we see the kids that come in and we always start our meetings with a meal. We'll have pizza or a meal of some sort, mm-hmm. and we'll do a little lesson, and then we'll do Yay Gods, which are mandatory, and then we'll do prayer requests, which are not. So, we just require everybody to tell us something that happened good to them in the last week, and then, you know, maybe
it's like
something
a heart of gratitude.
Exactly. Yeah. And then maybe something that they, are struggling with or that they know somebody that's struggling with. And it's been really great to see the kids that, you know, didn't have a church background and really weren't particularly comfortable in the beginning. Over time, they get a sense of comfort and they really start to develop some faith. And
Well, that's true outreach. And I think you think of like places that are non-threatening, a garage and food, right?
Yes.
Those are things that are not threatening
yes.
to people that may otherwise not step foot in a church.
Yes.
And may not feel comfortable being around a church community, but this is a place that allows them that opportunity to be exposed.
Yes.
And I think that that's, you know, even when you watch Jesus, like he always went to the outside.
Right.
He always went to those that were maybe on the fringes of
yep.
things. So it's really cool.
Yep.
So can you share with us, I know over the years since I've known you and Vilma, I've seen some really cool stories come out of Faith in Pistons. Maybe give us some examples of, I know we don't have the video here and we could maybe attach it, but I particularly love the story of when Vilma was at the mall. I think it was like last year or the year before.
It was a while ago.
Was it a while ago?
Yeah,
okay.
Was,
lost track of time.
I think Jacob was about 4. So
okay.
That's probably, you know, 5 to 6
okay,
years
all
ago.
Right. I love that story.
And that was, it was around Christmas time. And she was at the mall and had gone in to pick up a little this or that. And got to the checkout counter, and the woman who was working the counter looked at Jacob and said, oh, what would you like Santa to bring you? And he thought about it and gave whatever answer he gave. And then my wife sort of turned the tables on her, looked at her and said, how about you? What would you like Santa to bring you? And she really stopped and, you know, was taken aback. And she said, well, nobody's really ever asked me that before. Mm. And, you know, she thought about it for a minute and she said, well, I've been trying to save for a car. And so I guess that's what I would really like because I'm working 2 jobs now. I'm a single mom and I have to walk my daughter outside through the snow and in December to get to daycare so that I can then walk to my job.
Wow.
And it's really a challenge for me. And, you know, so obviously, my wife was really touched by it. She called me, and we, got her an application to the program. And at that point in time, we were still selling most all of our cars to make the rent and to buy the parts. So that was, it was a little bit of a leap even for us at the time. But we heard the story, and we were touched. And so long story short, she ended up getting the vehicle.
Yeah,
and it was. It was a tremendous improvement for her in her life. She was able to get her daughter, you know, safely and warmly to where she needed to go. She was able to get to work. She started to go to church with us. She hadn't been in a while and started to go again. And she ended up actually marrying someone from, with a church background.
Oh my goodness.
So,
wow.
That's cool.
It was, I think, a pretty... remarkable step in her walk. And she had been through a really, really difficult childhood and life in general. So just to know that, you know, God's answering her prayers and is listening and there are people that care about her without wanting anything in return.
Yeah.
especially men.
Yeah.
Now for your ministry, was that like a big pivot? Because now for the most part, most of what you do is give cars away now, right?
Yes. And that was right about the time, as I look back at it, that we, it was within a year after that we decided that, God had blessed the ministry to the degree we had enough money to not have to sell cars to be able to make rent.
Wow.
And so we were like neutral there. And, we just felt the calling that's what we should do. We should donate every car that we can. And it really helped, broaden the ministry out in a different direction, and in a way that I think dovetails beautifully, but is different from our initial mission. Mm. And a lot of the recipients of our vehicles end up being single mothers or women that are trying to get out of or recover from situations where men in their lives really haven't upheld their sort of biblical responsibility to be,
providers and
do that. So I think that that just has manifold repercussions in the program, because we get, first of all, the women that share their stories, if they so choose, with our kids, allow the kids to see, the boys in the program to see what happens when men fail to live up to what they should be living up to.
Wow.
And, so there's that side of it. And they get to see that when they do hard work, they really get to bring joy to somebody else's life. So at the time of, giving the set of keys to somebody, they get to see that. And then the recipients get to see that there is an answer to their prayer, or there can be. And there are men in the world that will do kind things for them without expecting anything in return.
Yeah.
And so I think all of that just dovetails beautifully to be a well-rounded program.
It's not common that a ministry or an outreach of any sort impacts multiple layers of people. Most of the time there's somebody on the receiving end of that. But when you have the ones that are doing the work also receiving the impact and getting mentored.
Yep.
That's a really beautiful picture of just full circle.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I love about Faith in Pistons is the surprise component, right? There's a surprise piece.
That's my favorite. And, don't give away the secret.
No. But yeah.
A lot of times when we have a recipient, we bring them in as we just tell them that it's going to be an interview. And so they show up to the garage thinking that they're going to have another, a layer of interview or tell their story or, meet us, and we get to talk to them. But we usually keep that to a couple of minutes. They'll share, some of their story if they're comfortable with it, in the group there. And then we hand them the keys and they'll, to a person are just shocked.
Like, yes,
I just thought I was here for the interview. Like, this is really mine. And that's really, it's touching. It's so awesome to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And that's
what I love about the story for you, not just for your ministry, but for ministries and Christians as a whole, is that for so long, all the work was going to pay rent, but then from a place of generosity, the Lord provided. And I think that, like, so many times a lot of ministries, a lot of the focus is like, well, if I just had this, or if I just had that, or we need to raise money for this or raise money for that, or we need to sell for this or sell for that. And the focus so many times goes on to, like, well, we need to do this to make enough money for that, for it to be fruitful.
Yep.
And in a moment that the Holy Spirit led you guys to be generous, is within a year, it's like He actually provided. And so that you didn't have to work to get what you wanted anymore. You actually got to work to provide what the true heart for the ministry was, which was to be able to give to people in the community, not just on a mentorship level, but at the gift of a vehicle as well. And I love that part of the story, how, like, that generosity is actually what broke you guys out of having to sell stuff to just being able to keep giving away.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that part.
Yeah. And even that has multiple layers, because, the effort that we have to put in to sell a vehicle is, you know, it's difficult. You got to get a buyer and show it to them and have somebody there. And so even that part of it's more of a pain than not.
Yeah.
And then to be able to forego that and go, you know, so many layers higher and just levels higher just to give away the vehicle. It's really,
love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I know one of the things we've experienced a lot of throughout the years is watching foster youth struggle when they age out of the system to not have a vehicle and then produce a healthy lifestyle of work and responsibility when they can't even get to and fro somewhere, you know?
Yep.
And so I know Faith and Pistons has been able to bless a few kids that we've been associated with that have been in foster care, but a vehicle is a big deal.
Yeah,
it is. It is, and it's hard to get, you know, if you're in a low income situation to get that big lump of money that you need to get something that's reliable and, you know, and then, you know, still pay for the insurance and all that stuff on top of it. And a lot of people can do that, but they just can't get over the hump of getting the vehicle to then get the job to then, you know, move up to a better job and then kick the whole thing off. So, you know, we've had a lot of different situations that we've been able to help with, and, you know, not just, you know, single mothers. We've had, actually our most recent giveaway last week was a an 80-year-old woman who helps out other old people, as she says. And she's a real firecracker, and she, you know, her vehicle just was not repairable, and she's got people she takes to medical appointments and all that. And so we were able to help her out with a vehicle. We had a woman who gave up her job to take care of a friend who had terminal brain cancer, and she ended up surviving for a long time compared to what was expected. And, you know, so this person couldn't, you know, again, didn't have a vehicle to be able to, you know, go to work to, you know, pay for a vehicle. So she was in that situation. We were able to bless her as, you know, as a recipient. We even had one that was a fairly notorious, I guess, bank robber in the area who went to prison and then came out as a changed person.
Wow.
We were able to bless him with a vehicle and he can make a new start too. So it's really pretty amazing. The sort of range of, people that we've been able to to touch.
That's cool. It's all different demographics.
And different demographics.
That's nice. Now, it's so interesting to see how many people now are in need of a car. We didn't used to have that as a request, but even here at the church, we get emails frequently for people that are looking for vehicles. I think with maybe the cost of living increases and rent increases.
Yes.
I know people are struggling to make down payments on apartments. So we do see even a greater need for these things. So I think that, you know, the Lord's preparing you just as we go into these seasons that, you know, this ministry we believe is just going to continue to just bless people in all different capacities. So I know on a previous year, you shared a little bit with our church body on what the needs were for Faith and Pistons, because they, just like the people that are impacted, it also is multi-layered what the needs are for Faith and Pistons. So I just wanted to take a few minutes to talk through how people can help support the ministry, whether physically or financially, like what the needs are and how we can get behind this.
Sure. And our primary sort of engine, so to speak, that drives us is donations, donated vehicles. So we will use just about any vehicle in one manner or another, whether it's if it's repairable, we'll do so. If we can use parts for one of our other vehicles, we'll do so. If it's you know, just totally not worth repair, then we'll scrap it and use the money to get parts for the next one. So donated vehicles are really important for
us. So how does that work? If someone has a vehicle sitting in their yard right now, whether they can move it or not, how does it work if they want to donate a vehicle?
Yep, they can contact me or contact us, depending where they are, and we'll have the vehicle towed, and they'll bring it to the shop, and they'll just have to hand over the title and... That's it.
And off you
and
go.
And off we go. And we'll send a, like I said in the beginning, we're a registered 501c3 charity, and we can send a receipt for the donation of the vehicle so they can deduct it from taxes.
Yeah, and that's great. Are there certain vehicles that you're in a higher need for? I know before you and I had talked about sometimes with single moms, you've needed minivans or things like of that nature. Does it matter or?
No, we wouldn't turn any away, you know, because there are different needs for different people. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have a pickup truck, let's say, it may not be the best thing for a single mom with three kids, mm-hmm. but somebody who's, you know, coming out of a prison ministry, prison situation, yeah. or a rehab program or something, who's a in a construction field and needs a pickup truck, mm-hmm. that may be, you know, something that they need. You know, if somebody has a longer commute, maybe a smaller two-door car is great for them. So, yeah. you know, we sort of rely on the Lord for guidance here. We end up with, you know, sort of a list of vehicles we have and a list of recipients, and we do our best
to make
them match up.
Okay, that's fun. So, I like the matching.
But SUVs and minivans are typically the most universal because almost anyone can use those. So
yeah,
those are best, but we'll take anything.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, now, this question is not as spiritual, and we're going to be ending in a minute. But
wait till we get to the rest of the needs. I have to wait till he gets to the rest of the needs.
Oh, you have more needs.
Yes, he does. He has a couple more needs. Okay. Hold on. Wait until your last question. We're
all
almost
right.
there.
We'll zip through the needs.
No. Make sure we cover the needs.
Yeah.
Donations are always important. They help us to buy parts and pay for the rent and those sorts of things. So that's always important. And then we're always looking for mentors in the program.
Okay.
So, you know, men who know the Lord and, you know, have an affinity for working with their hands is helpful, but it's not required.
They don't have to be a mechanic?
Nope. Don't have to be. Certainly not a professional. None of us are at this point. but, you know, each person has their own experiences and we bring them. And, you know, so that's important to us, mentors, to just kind of shepherd things along and keep people from hurting themselves and whatnot.
Supervising
okay. in general.
Yeah.
And then kids for the program.
For mentors, you know, that need to be mentored.
Need to be mentored. Okay. So, you know, someone that, as we outlined earlier, may not really have a great background in church and may not really be interested in, you know, the typical Bible study, but has an affinity for engines or, you know, cars or motorcycles.
And what are the ages?
Generally about 14, 18
okay.
is, you know, we need a certain level of maturity based on what we're doing. And that seems to work out pretty well.
How do they get now? Does like their parents drop them off? Do you guys pick them up? Or do they walk, ride bikes? Like how do the kids usually get there?
All the above.
Okay.
Generally somebody will drop them off. So they'll either have either in the program right now, we've got some kids that are old enough to drive and they'll drive themselves. They may pick up a friend. We've had situations where we'll have a mentor pick them up, but in general, it sort of works out best if they can get a ride there from a parent.
You guys are in Bridgewater, so it's, you know, there's
West Bridgewater.
West Bridgewater. So there's still like a kind of a mile radius that is more likely where your kids are going to come from. Because, I mean, what was the furthest you've had your kid like drive a half an hour to get there?
We've had a kid up to an hour.
Wow.
So, which is pretty unusual. Most of them, I would say, are 20 minutes to 40 minutes.
Yeah, like Taunton and Renum and,
Bridgewater, Brockton. I think we had one in Middleborough, but
okay.
Yeah. So to meet these needs, financial, car donations, mentors, youth that need to be mentored, where is the best place for people to go? I know that we're going to have a group of people that come see you at the table on Sunday. Yep. And if you're listening to this after Sunday, please go back and watch the service for the spotlight on Faith and Pistons. But where would people go? Where should we refer people to get in contact with your team?
So typically our Facebook page is the most actively used, which is Faith and Pistons on Facebook, as I said. Then we do have a website, which is faithandpistons.org. And those are generally the two most commonly used social media. And that's probably an area that we could use, you know, help mentoring as well, is in our social media.
Yeah.
We're not We're car guys. We're not necessarily social media guys per se.
Yeah.
And that's not one of our strong suits. We've been trying to integrate that a little bit more, keep people up to date with the, you know, great things that are going on. When we have a donation, we'll typically post it, but, you know, so if there's anybody that's, has that skill set, tech savvy, yeah, that's also interested, that would be a great a great addition.
Listen up out there, you tech savvy people. If you don't want to work on a car,
you tech savvy we have the place
for you.
You're a man, but you're tech
savvy. No, it's important. All those things are important, being able to communicate and get the word out there, especially for ministry. So that's good.
Yeah.
All right, John, shoot with your question there.
All right, my question was, again, it's not very spiritual, but what was the most exciting car you worked on? Like vehicle, like was it, did you have any like sports cars or like souped up trucks, something that was like, man, this car is amazing, I can't believe we get to give this away?
In terms of giveaways, we haven't. We had somebody donated somebody donated like a it was like a 62 Belvedere. But it was in boxes.
Wow.
And so that one we actually ended up selling, because the amount that it was worth as a repair project for somebody so inclined, you know, made it so that we were able to fix a bunch of other cars.
That's cool.
The most interesting cars are the mentors' cars.
Okay.
More than the donors. So we have a 65 Mustang. We have now a Celine Mustang. I think it's a 2006 Celine. It's pretty nice. And Bob, our founder, has probably the most radical of the vehicles. And he's got a Corvair, which was normally a 4 or 6 cylinder rear engine vehicle. And they took the transaxle, flipped it over, and he literally has a V8 Chevy sitting in his back seat.
What the heck?
In right with him. So the thing is, you know, it's crazy fast and crazy loud. And
so he lets the kids work on it?
They have a little bit, but no, I don't know. Maybe a wash and wax, but.
Yeah. The most exciting one's like a Volkswagen minivan or something, right?
All right, so now we need people to donate exciting cars.
We need exciting cars.
Yeah, donate some fun things. Yeah,
old sports car sitting there. You're not going to do anything with.
We did do a project with. It was one of the kids' own car, and we had enough time to be able to sort of split time between our donation projects and his vehicle. And he actually swapped an Acura engine into his Honda. You know, when he put a bunch of performance parts into it and, you know, made a go fast car out of it. But, you know, so we've done some stuff like that, motorcycles as well. But
Well, one thing I really appreciate, and we're just so thankful to be able to be part of this ministry. We feel so blessed to partner with Faith and Pistons and the team, and just even what we've seen people receive, just gifts of these donated cars, and being able to be a part of it has just been so beautiful. But one thing I really appreciate is that your team always listens to what the Lord is leading. And so you might get creative in how you give away cars or how you use the tools that the Lord's given you. But I just appreciate how you let the Spirit lead and that you guys are always creative in the way that you're operating. So we appreciate you being here. Anything you want to say in closing, Glenn?
Nothing in particular.
Okay. Well, you shared a lot.
We appreciate all your support.
Yeah.
This last year, since we've been, you know, a part of the HPC family, has been really amazing. We were able to give away 10 vehicles last year, which was, I think we're up to about 35 total, somewhere around there. So it was really a really big year. And a lot of those were vehicles donated from HPC.
Good.
And a number of them were donated back to HPC.
That's cool. I love that.
So we appreciate the support, the prayers, the vehicle donations, the financial support.
Whatever
we really
can
appreciate
do.
All of it. It's been great.
Awesome. John's just going to pray for the ministry real quick as we close. And then, like I said, please tune into service this coming Sunday.
I think it's the 30th, or June
30th. End of June. And if this is, if you're listening to this after the 30th, please go back and watch. Faith and Pistons is going to share some pretty cool pictures of the things happening there.
Yeah, so Lord God, I thank you so much for just this ministry. I thank you for the heart of the men that lead this ministry, Lord. And I pray that you'll continue to bless them, continue to provide everything they need, Lord God, that that from this place of generosity, you are just using them to bless not only single moms, but just so many families, Lord, and even these young men that maybe some of them don't have father figures or people that have spoken positively into their life or just the ability to be productive with their hands and to give back from gifts that they have that maybe they never even realized or never even thought that they could do anything like that, anything good to help somebody. And so I just thank you for this ministry, and I pray that you'll continue to bless them, God, that your generosity will just overwhelm them, Lord, and that you would expand everything they're trying to do in a way that gives you honor, gives you glory, God. And I just, again, we thank you for them. I pray that even though this past year has been one of their best years, God, we just believe that the best is yet to come, and that you just that you want to continue to pour your love out into young men, into families all over this region for your glory and for your name's sake. So we love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for Glenn and for his heart. And I pray that you will continue to be glorified and that you will continue to do only what you can do through this ministry for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Thanks so much. Okay.